This is a production of Cornell University.
Calling this meeting of October the 7th EA to order. Are there any other late additions to the agenda? Great. This will be a little bit, if you looked at the agenda from this morning, it's a little bit more of like a working meeting to share next steps. I think we've had a lot of, we had two visitors at the last meeting. We've had just folks coming to speak for the president. So I'd like to just not drop the ball and make sure we're actually doing things rather than just having a lot of people come and visit. So that's what today will be a little bit more of. Looking over the minutes, anyone corrections with the minutes, concerns, Brandon? Okay. So, any other corrections? People that were here, not here? All right, with that attendance correction, can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Second.
And I just call for unanimous consent for those. Any dissent? All right, seeing none, we'll approve those minutes from September the 16th. Excellent. All right, so our first item on business today was a facilitated survey on streamlining processes. At our last meeting, Kathy Bergeron presented on the Workday Performance Dialogues, and we also asked her about presenting a survey to this body about finding processes that we see from our positions on campus to help along with the president's call for the burden of bureaucracy. And there's a survey link that I sent out with the agenda this morning, and I'll resend that again this afternoon just so we all have that as just a distinct email. But please visit that link. It calls for you can have up to five processes that you see that either our group here as an assembly or just that your group as a staff member works with that you think could be improved in some way, shape, or form. And then we'll invite Kathy and her team back to this meeting, go over the results of the survey that we provided, and also go over kind of action steps. What else does she have on there?
I think that was it. One of the questions that came up as we were talking at the executive committee meeting, and I haven't connected with you yet, so we're doing that after this.
No worries.
is when we were talking with Mary, the idea of sending a survey from the EA to the entire staff community.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where we want to go. Mm-hmm. And so we needed to touch base with Kathy and who's over there?
Jen, I'm blanking on her last name.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, touch base and see what the process for that would look like. Because I think that was maybe some of our intent in trying to do this, and mm-hmm. less about our own body mm-hmm. and more about the general body.
Yep.
So just want to make sure I'm clear what page we're on or what page we need to get on.
I haven't, so that's why I wanted to see it now as well.
Because we've gotten it.
I think, was it just going to go around HR?
I think Mary had it set up for just, I mean, okay. Whoever initiated it in the HR group wanted it done for HR, but I didn't know there was plans for that to be shared, and Mary mentioned to us that we should reach out to Kathy and have something done for staff-wide so that the EA could distill some initiatives and then present those back to the folks on that who are leading up that charge, the Bob Committee. The Bob.
The Bob.
Burden of bureaucracy.
Taken on the name of his son.
I have to say that I work a lot with Bob.
It is our Bob. See you, our Bob.
Have this see you, our Bob.
It'll have an endowment soon.
Other questions about what the survey is or what it's trying to tackle? Goals, anything like that? Is there anyone that's interested in kind of working directly with Kathy to help lead, help see what the logistics are of moving that out to the entire staff and anything like that as well, too.
You're not going to do that, Greg? I thought the exact thing you said you'd reach out. No?
Yeah, we need to. I'm happy to do that.
Oh, no, okay.
That's fine. I need to talk with BJ first, and I haven't connected yet, so.
We have been involved in a lot of other things lately, so.
So we'll
Greg and I are having a date tonight, so. this is an official record, isn't it? So we're meeting tonight.
Good.
To catch up on what we've been
as long as help parties involved.
Cool. So, but in the meantime, yes, please fill out that. I think it's good to just get a start. So as we start to distill ideas, I think our big fear at first was if we just send out to the entire staff without some focus, it might just turn into no focus at all. So I think we're a good group to kind of get that started. So please fill out that survey. All right, this is not here. I guess we can remove down to a report from the chair so we can start going over these things until Ulysses arrives. From the UA meeting, we have approved a new judicial administrator. So
Interim,
sorry.
Interim, yeah. Can you say who?
Judy, Jody. Sorry.
Yes. Shiplicky.
Yeah. I always get tongue-tied on the last part. Who was
she's been there.
She
was in the JA's office.
Yeah,
she was a associate or assistant JA or something previously in filling that role. And then there was a committee that was assembled by the president's office and the UA. There's four members from the UA, a student, faculty, undergraduate student, faculty, graduate professional student, and an employee on that committee. And then Vice President Ryan Lombardi and Wendy Tarlow from Council's office. So that is the committee, and President's office is going to support a national search for that position.
Mm-hmm. So. Questions about Jay stuff? Cool. Next one there, so staffing the UA and the EA committees, we do have appointments still open for those. I have just a rundown from yesterday. The Codes and Judicial Committee needs one person from the EA,
correct?
Do you want to give a little update on what the CJC does for the...
So the CJC essentially is responsible for maintaining, updating, changing the Campus Code of Conduct, which is sort of the governing principles, rules, regulations, code that which all members of the community are held to. So that's a pretty interesting committee. There's real change that can be affected. The last several years, the committee has focused on freedom of expression and the right to free speech and protest rights. I'm hoping that the committee this year can sort of go in a different direction because there are some changes that need to take place in the code. A lot of the work, too, will be done around the Bill of Rights, Community Bill of Rights. And so what that means, what that looks like, how that fits in, so that it'll be a hopefully a meaty topic, a lot to discuss.
And the chair is?
I'm the chair. Yeah, so it's a makeup of UA members, and then each body, SAE, GPSA, EA, Faculty Senate, appoint members to that. And it's usually one by and one of. So one of the EA members and one by the EA. Kathy Zoner is by the EA, who sits on that committee. so it's students, faculty, and staff.
Did Jeremy talk to you? Because he was mm-hmm.
Not directly, no. When the group decides that it's a good time, that's probably the hardest thing we'll do this year. Coming up with the meeting time. He's surprised. so it'll be, I'm going to send out a doodle poll to that committee, and one of the things is we're going to be moving forward regardless of fully staffed or not, because we've reached a point where we need to do that. I think it's really important that we as an EA staff everything, because I don't want to be the ones, and I say I, and I mean like the collective I, holding up the process, because it's often the faculty senate who can't get committee staff, and when they start feeding the employees, it's just my competitive spirit wants to make sure that we have our chance to insert ourselves in the process.
Are these committee meetings open to the general public?
Unless for some reason that they would go into an executive session, but yes, they're always open. Minutes of the CJC are taken and supported through the office, just because of the nature of the discussion and the material being discussed.
Okay.
And there's an info listserv for, there's an CJC info, or is it just CJC members? There, I thought there used to be a CJC info. I just want to make sure everybody who wants the information can get the information, and I don't have to remember who to CC. So. All
right. The other committee is with the UA, also the Campus Infrastructure Committee, and we are looking for 2 staff members for that as well. The Campus Infrastructure Committee deals with all the infrastructure on campus. So planning, they work with transportation, the planning office. When I sat on the infrastructure committee, that's when they were looking at the bus system and the passes. So we were looking at that process. So if that's something you're interested in, please look in the campus infrastructure committee. And then the other committee as well is the campus welfare committee. So again, dealing with the welfare of all the community members on campus. Ulysses chairs that one as well, too. And so for the infrastructure and campus welfare, looking for 2 staff for both of those committees as well. So again, the infrastructure and campus welfare, 2 of them are from the EA, but again, 2 are by the EA as well. So if you know of folks that are interested in serving in some capacity or interested in these issues, please pass them, I'm going to say, to Tanya, who's helping staff them, so we can get those committees staffed as well. But again, a lot of the work happens in these committees, so it's a good way to get involved on the ground level. Other questions? Cool. Moving on to special election for the open positions. So as many of you know, we have 2 open seats. We now have a 3rd seat as well. Richard just took a new position and is unable to continue serving with the EA, so we have 3 open positions. We'll be sending out some publicity materials. Some have already gone already. But at our next meeting, we will ask interested candidates to come to our EA meeting, present their statements of intent, be open for questions and answers, and then as an EA, we will vote on who the new members will be as well. So again, the next meeting, very important to continue staffing. I'm going to ask, are there any other logistical things you'd like us to know, be aware of? Who, can you share those names? Do you know them off the top of your head right now? Okay. Okay. So I was going to say, two deal first names, those are two of them in there.
I've spoken to two people who have contacted me expressing interest and were asking some questions about the EA. One of the, I just want to put out there, I don't know how much more black and ass cancer you have, but one of them says, you guys seem really desperate for bodies. So I think it's great that we're getting the word out. I just want to say that
in a positive way.
In a positive way, but I don't know how much more flat. I mean, I'd love that to become more personal kind of stuff.
I think it's good. I mean, I'll take that with a grain of salt. I just got a bunch of emails from my homecoming survey. I gave out free beer to students, to alumni, and they were like, this was crappy beer. And I'm like, I'm sorry I gave you free beer. So I'll take that survey feedback with a grain of salt. I mean, we're going to get that out there. I was just like, I literally gave you free beer, and you're complaining about the beer I gave you. So survey results, I'll take with a grain of salt. So if they think we're desperate, that's their own opinion. I probably don't want that person serving on the EA, and that'll be on the official record as well, too. I don't mean to steal the messenger, but I'm like, more vague.
Exactly.
And I appreciate that.
And we don't want to hear from anybody that's about it.
Yeah.
So.
I appreciate that. And that's exactly the response we should be giving. So.
Yeah, I think that was right.
Was that something I told you?
We should almost get it to a position where you shouldn't have to need approval. I mean, that because the approval process in itself says that it's an optional program, because you can approve or not approve.
Well, so the hard part with that is if you have somebody who is not meeting expectations for their work, you want that supervisor to be able to say, you're not getting work done. But I think the only reason they should be able to deny really is because you're not meeting expectations. But if you're an employee who is standing, there shouldn't have to be any
Yeah. I mean, if you're on a PIP, I get that.
Right. Exactly. So that to me is the only reason supervisor should be able to do this.
They came up after the last election, somebody supervisor called, but I never knew my supervisor, I sat high school with a fly, and I was trying to decide. I actually wasn't sure what the policy.
who I ran into at the chain, Mary actually called me back personally and said, that won't have to go.
Yeah.
Won't have to go. But if that's the case, we should, it should be articulated.
Yeah. Because that's not the norm.
But that's not what the policy says.
Exactly.
If you look at the current policy, it does allude, because it doesn't specifically talk to you, but it says, for a week time, the supervisor approval.
Mm-hmm.
I think we looked into it a couple of times.
Okay.
The only thing else, feedback-wise, from you guys, you guys, you mentioned the good thing, but also people who are new in their position, they usually say wait 6 months or wait a year, and then they are looking at me to do one adjustment. But I put it in that it is something that I heard. And, you know, I can ask questions. So, I'm not sure if there's, like, room for that, or if that was
and I think it's difficult to make a policy that's consistent across exempt and non-exempt staff members, because
mm-hmm.
That's really where the challenge does come in at times, is the who's paying for the time, how's the time accounted for when it's a non-exempt staff. So I think it's something interesting we should try to push for.
Mm-hmm. I think what would be interesting is we have a number of members from VA and have over the years who are non-exempt, but it might be interesting to do maybe a survey or feedback to the supervisor just saying, did their involvement with the assembly negatively impact their productivity or the work that they got done? Did you see?
Do you think that's something, is that something like a clerk could create, like a Qualtrics thing in terms of logistics? I'm just thinking, what staff capacity do we have? Is that a project for an EA member? Like, what does that look like?
I think we could come up with the format of it and put it in the set it up, but I asked you to come up with the content.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That would be interesting. Mm-hmm. Maybe a lot of years. Mm-hmm. Than their supervisor or something.
Oh, yeah, and I think, too, if you could do it, you should have maybe everybody's supervisor who's
yeah.
been on,
yeah.
and then have the option to click exempt, non-exempt,
mm-hmm.
have it be, you know, anonymous, and
yeah.
let them provide some feedback. You know, three questions.
Mm-hmm.
We'll gather a list.
I can do that.
Kevin's doing that.
I think that would be really good, right?
Thank you, Michael. Then we'll go with data.
Yeah.
Right? Trust in God, all others must bring data. all the things that are on the record today. Good. You know what, Mikhail? I too am a Trekkie, and that now is also on the record, too.
You're a bad
idiot. I'm totally fine with that. I'm going to yell at people who complain about free beer, and I'm fine with being a Trekkie on the record. I got you, Gina. All right. Any other questions about the election in that regard? Okay. Thanks. My last update from the chair is the president's address. So, again, we've nailed down the date. It's November the 13th. We're looking at call auditorium. The availability they gave us for time is 11:30 to 1. They just have a class at 1:25. I think we'll be cleared out of there by 1:25. I don't foresee us, like, dilly-dallying in the auditorium. I've seen food in the like I've been to receptions
better
there where they've had food right out there.
Nice, because then you can have the food available with Bailey and whatnot. We've always had to have
the
watch out because you can't bring it in, but this, you know, a lot of people come early, they grab their lunch, and then we will be much more likely to be out on.
Because I don't think any of the other
classrooms are just say no food.
They say no food, but they give you no food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That amount of people.
Never mind.
I'm going to walk out.
So keeping that in mind, is there anyone that is interested in helping kind of just spearhead and just tie together the last loose ends in terms of contacting CIT, getting food, and just make sure there's like one point person? I'm happy to assist that person. I just don't necessarily want to be the one doing all the different things in that sense as well. It's, we've done it before, so there's really just like a few loose ends.
Are we doing it the way, are we kind of doing what we've done in the past, or are we kind of recreating?
What do you mean by recreating the wheel?
Like, are we going to go to do sandwiches in an apple and watch them, or are we trying to do something different because it's a new president and it's different?
I feel like the... So do you have someone?
I was going to say, we, the, on the exec call, we discussed it a little bit. I brought up, there's an opportunity here that I think the VA should really embrace, and that is that this has been done, as has been done, years and years. This is a third of your budget. This is the one opportunity where you have the whole community coming and you are the host. And how you decide to do this particular event should be intentional. It may be, we're going to decide to do it the same way we've done. Maybe you don't have sandwiches or apples and you get careful chocolate. Who knows?
Yeah.
But those are going to be intentional. And Amy and I were discussing this at length and
do you want to be that call?
We're still here to support them, and we can keep them on here and be done, and it'll be great. But I'd like to give it back to the assembly to really give some thought and attention to how this should be done. Even last year, having the video and the music, yes, those are new and different. Yes, we did those. We did those. And I'm happy to put it both Amy and I love to do events, so you're never going to find two less willing people.
I like change.
Apparently,
for the record.
Those are the directives should come from you, and so maybe even having a chair of the president's address, or maybe a committee for that, and you convene and come back and let us know what the support needs are. We're happy to do that, but I think that this is an opportunity, especially.
BJ just made an executive decision that we're going to devote some time in this meeting to sort of maybe brain searching and throwing out some ideas, because the reality of distilling further down into smaller and smaller committees with time commitments and level of involvement, let's use some time now that we have here. Ulysses unable to make it, so unless anybody objects, if we can use this time to throw some ideas out, have some discussion, you know, maybe 10 minutes or so, or 15, whatever we can come up with. But I know you've led it before, I've led it before, BJ's led it before, Amy's led it for probably 11 years. this is her 10th anniversary of the president's address for Amy. let's just sort of throw out some ideas, or does anybody want to see anything different, lessons learned from previous experience? This is the interactive part. The staff recognition award, right? Facilities got it.
Facilities got grounds.
Grounds got it.
So we tried to get it at least in. in years that I've spent here, we've tried to give it to a group of employees rather than highlighting one. Part of that kind of thing is it used to be like, oh, a Lynette or a, you know, Data. I mean, I think it's great to give it to Data last year because he was leaving. But I think those are kind of easy, very visual people, so I think we were trying to get it to people who are the unsung heroes kind of thing.
Yeah.
What about dining?
My one concern, like, I agree with that, and I worry that if we just recognize dining as a whole, does that really recognize that, like, dining is huge, and we also have had a hard time getting dining staff to this event previously, because they're typically working during that time, and I think that's just something where, yes, we want to appreciate dining, but if we appreciate them at this event, which they can't leave because they're working, that's... I get a lot of cognitive dissonance with that when we present that award.
I think I was thinking about dining last year because we decided to go with President Courtney's CBS Staff Council.
They work with the Red College only, but I think they've been a great answer on it now. But they, you know, from the time that Paul Tree started that group, I think they've done a lot for the Red College and really, really active. And
they're a good example for other colleges to maybe step up.
Yeah, well, so that's a
suggestion.
But I don't know if we're looking for a group that does the whole university.
It could
really be anybody.
So there's a few groups that came to my mind. I think wellness is doing a lot of great things, and they've made some strong changes. Charter Day, you know, there's a lot of people and volunteers who went into that. But the thing I think would probably be most impactful is CUPD. CUPD right now there's a lot of external pressure from various parts of campus on CUPD, but the work that they do, they are fellow staff members, and some of the things that they have to deal with and go through and how they take a teaching, learning approach to law enforcement. You know, I was talking with somebody just the other day, I'd much rather have to deal with a CUPD officer than an IPD officer. Nothing against IPD, but it's just the mindset, you know, that they bring to their workplace.
I mean, they did as part of that first responder group,
but
you know, that is part of that. But not as CUPD. I mean, they did as CUPD, but we had environmental health and safety.
There were specific to that.
We recognize them as a group of first responders responding to these kind of situations. I think
I don't know. I think they are a very under recognized group that do a lot of really positive work, and I think it's just important in the community to continue to strengthen that support and that dialogue and that recognition. Sorry. Other ideas? I'm also wondering, they recently released, is there a working group? Last night they mentioned, I think it was SHARE at the UA meeting.
There's a website.
It's a website. But is there also a working group around that to help brought that together?
No, that was there was a roundtable discussion at the meeting.
which is the larger.
So that's the larger organization. Okay.
Exactly.
Down
the first.
And then one
So the reason why I brought that up is because, I mean, they just released the report. So I'm thinking with this award, is our goal to tie it to something that we're trying to do later? Like, you know, we're trying to restructure our assembly. So is highlighting the DVM council good? Because that then gives us a really good talking point on here's a group that's doing something well, or is there another advocacy piece that we're trying to do that an award with that organization helps kind of tie those things together?
Mini EAX group that are doing work outside of the scope of their job in support of university mission.
Yeah.
If that's a goal to try and highlight the importance of
shared governance
or volunteering to be a larger part of the campus community.
Because
I serve on it, but I think one thing that really was great that kind of came out of that team council was that they were formed as a direct result of that survey we did 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So they could see that there was action taken on what we did.
There's a linkage to it. Good. So my thought, the Opperman Award, does that have to go to an individual or can that go to a group?
I think it can go to a group. I think we do say individual in it, but I think that's just...
Yeah. Because the idea maybe, what they do, you know, the staff council is very much, I think, in the spirit of the Opperman Award. So I don't know, just an idea.
Maybe we could give the, their middle school the prize award to it, but we can give that to the,
you could donate it, buy lunch or
whatever.
I guess, so you're saying we would give the Opperman Award instead of the Staff Appreciation Award at the...
Yeah, so I guess my thing is there a way to do something that's, with the staff appreciation, that's impactful on the entire campus community as opposed to isolated? Can we tailor the Opperman Award to still recognize the Vet Schools Council?
Or
just throwing out ideas. Yeah.
Or to move time to that, or do we have the staff recognition award that recognizes kind of an overarching group, and then we have almost like a university volunteerism or something award that we just give out along with this other one. So this year we give it to CUPD as the employee recognition award, and then we have this employee volunteerism or whatever it is award that goes to a person or a group who goes above and beyond their day to day. So to me, that would be the charter day steering committee or operations committee.
Yeah,
because
which is really the Opperman Award.
Yeah, but then it gets around the money.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the money piece you can. We could solve that. We could either treat them to something, or we could say, you know, we're going to contribute that to the faculty staff assistance fund in your honor. You know, something like that.
Yeah, coming out with another award, a new one. I mean, I've had even my own boss go. So, which award is this one that the EA is giving out? Oh. People get confused. So, I think it would be change what we have, not worry about the money. Really,
I still think we're. I don't know if we necessarily answered the question I asked before. Is that do we want to? Is there an organization that helps tie into what we're doing overall, so that we're presenting one message throughout this whole event? Because I agree with what Gina's mentioned too. This is an opportunity for us. So if we're not necessarily thinking about the TVM, the Vet Council, that's very focused on vet. Are there other organizations that support like campus-wide, like participation, representation, all those kinds of things that we can highlight? Present whatever the award is that we choose at this event, which then stays on message for us as well. Because, I mean, the thing for me is that these are all groups that are worthy of recognition. I think we all understand that, but I think we can be strategic in selecting a group at this time to support the particular things that we're trying to do. So.
Bill. I sit on the Sexual Violence Prevention Committee, and they don't get a lot of campus-wide recognition for what they're doing, but it's, from what they say, Cornell is a leader in this push for safer campuses around the country. And you read almost every day is some new something going on campus, you know, rapes or sexual violence of one sort or another. And Cornell is really trying very, very hard to not eliminate, because we're not going to eliminate it, but to reduce it and bring it to the public forefront of all the efforts that are happening on campus to mitigate the sexual violence. And frankly, they need the publicity. And also, it is a campus-wide and community, not just on campus, but just in general, talking about it, to make awareness of sexual violence prevention happen. So, you know, I support that idea. Here. I think you mentioned it on that side of the table. Because it does encompass the whole community, not just a specific college. Whatever.
And what's the makeup of the committee? Like, where do the staff members come from?
Everywhere. Women's Resource Center. I'm involved with as president. Susan Murphy was the chair, and now I think Brian has taken over that. And it's from every. There are a lot of men there. There's a lot of women there. A lot of. LGBTQ involvement, because sexual violence isn't just men on women, and it's not just men on LGBTQ, it's men on men, women on women, it is a very pervasive.
And one of the questions or comments that came out of this roundtable discussion of the essay was for those marginalized groups anyway, they may not show to where the resources are that the university is providing, I think, in that. They're going to go to one of the resource centers that support them in the community. And so one of the core functions of this CPT is really to make sure that all of the resources are identified and channeled, and people don't consume information the same way. So
yep.
It's a very important.
And it's really, really daunting. Take on this whole thing because we're such a diverse community, there's a lot of social interactions that happen outside of the United States that aren't accepted here as far as interpersonal connectedness. You know, they need to get all that information out to people. And, this is how what is acceptable behavior in this country is what we need to provide. Difficult to have. There is no one source for information,
yeah.
And people don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I think that, so I think Marie was kind of asking, so, but I think what we're looking for is an organization that is campus-wide, is encouraging staff excellence outside of their regular job description, and in a way that contributes to the well-being of the university, which is what we try and do, and what are other bodies that recognize that. So that's something that does sound like it fits that. Other ideas along those veins? Okay. Other folks that you can, like groups that you can think of that kind of fulfill that?
Well, I think maybe being somebody who I know are in part of very close to us, and coming from another institution where that we teach the kids night and day, the level of care and consideration they have for the work that they do. And I think they take it very, they take, you know, like, it very seriously, and they're open to feedback, and I just think it's a great job.
Is there like a volunteer staff council or anything that works with CU PD that we could highlight? Like a.
Well, there's their union.
Do they have like, so there's, you know, with this sexual violence recognition committee, that's like a campus wide committee that I'm assuming is partially staffed by volunteers. Is there like Ithaca itself has, I think it's community advisory board for their police ops that works. It's made up of police members, community members, it's volunteer, so it's outside of their regular responsibilities, but then it's contributing to the greater civic community. Does CPD have something like that? Because I think that fills that
there
idea.
Didn't that get dissolved and rolled into something with the UA a couple years ago?
Yeah.
I think it got rolled up into campus welfare.
Okay. Just a question to ask in that sense.
Grounds is unionized, dining's unionized.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good question. Many parts of facilities are.
So my idea working with CUPD is that not everyone views a police force in the same way. And so I think that is highlighting that. I just want us to be sensitive in that way that we recognize this award when many people are considering police forces as maybe not a positive idea and how we do community policing and those things. So I think in highlighting CUPD, maybe are there things that they're doing that are talking about like community policing, like being proactive in those senses?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the crimes of prevention programs, you know, the programs that some of their detectives are doing, I can speak to the Greek community, right, because that's what I'm most familiar when you work with CPD on. But, you know, going into the house, you know, how do you secure your valuables during an event? How do you, you know,
lock up your house for the, you know, winter time, you know, so they do those things. They do about, you know, how to deal with drugs and other sensitive topics. I'm sure they go into the residence halls and do similar programs. And then they also, you know, I've worked with them at the hotel on, you know, safely serving, you know, alcohol to guests. And what do you do if somebody's intoxicated? How do you diffuse situations? So they do serve and provide those sort of training and resources to many of the different constituent groups on campus. But I think, too, also the way in which they do approach policing is very community-based. And, yes, it is it can be a divisive topic for many. I feel strongly, though, that from a staff perspective, they are our staff colleagues in literally in arms and figuratively. But they deserve the same respect as staff members that everybody else gets. And because they choose to wear a shield and chose a career, makes them a target already for certain, opinions of folks. But I think it's really important that we stand and support them in their process because they do go above and beyond in their everyday to make sure that the policing environment that they create is a positive one and a proactive one as opposed to a reactive and mishandling of their authority. And I think we could use this opportunity to highlight all of these things that we all have our own interaction with, you know, get a list together and use it as a positive moment for a group of people who don't get a lot of positive recognition often just because of the pure nature of the work that they do.
Other comments, thoughts?
I would just say as far as staff goes, they're also very involved in like employee celebration and whatnot, and they do tables for their family to bring their kids. They talk to them about, you know, they make those children feel comfortable being in group presence and things like that. So that's just another connection to do for staff.
So in terms of, I guess, doing the approval process, is there the awards committee?
We vote.
We just do it in here. It's fine. Okay. So. Yep.
Do we want to go off? Does anybody object to going off the record? for this portion?
Can you just do it with soccer? Or why do you have to go out there?
It's available. Yeah, I mean, I understand. I just so it's a surprise that bomb. Yeah, it's not necessarily in the minute. So if there's, are there, let's make it just a little bit more part. Are there any objections to just keeping this part of the vote in executive session? No. All right, so let's just go to.
Okay.
No, no, I just, I don't want to necessarily lose stuff. Okay. So we were with the Opperman question.
Let's follow up on the Opperman question.
Yeah,
somebody could. You're gonna radio nominate
the
council, and then the awards committee will make that decision. But I do think it might be good to have an Opperman Award presentee at the president's address to sort of build some recognition. And then it might also, I don't know, you don't want to make it like the award show for the EA.
Yeah.
But there have been a few George Peter Award winners,
right,
and maybe just recognized by name. Just an idea.
Is that something we can do at the beginning? Like slideshow pictures from some of the events, and then that's the first thing we announce, and then.
No, good idea. Good idea.
This is what we can do.
Sure. Yeah. No, I think the slideshow idea is brilliant. It's one of those things we talked about in the earlier meeting of the awards committee was maximizing the opportunity that the candidates event provides. You've got a house full of peers that should know all this stuff. And in the case of George Peter Award, that's the premier award that can be given to an employee. So any opportunity to blow the horn, let people know what it is, how it came to be, that this person's being celebrated, look at them cutting a cake with a child. I mean, all of that stuff does all great stuff for the EA.
So just on the Opperman Award, after the staff recognition and committee, after that committee meets and selects their top three candidates, it goes to an ad hoc committee of an employee assembly member, the chair of the staff recognition, an awards committee member, the paw print editor, and the employee elected trustee to make a final decision.
So the staff recognition committee chair is an EA person?
Yes.
Always.
Right, so it would be that committee of six who would set the final three, if there are three for that. Is an EA member, the chair of the committee who's also an EA member, staff recognition and awards committee member, someone else from the recognition committee, the paw print editor, so Nancy, and Alan Niven.
And so who are the committee members?
So apparently they're not in there yet. So
okay.
PLR and I were just looking at like that. So there's never been a traditional timeline, and that's part of the problem. We haven't had a lot of folks apply for any of the awards. Last year at the last meeting, the city talked about trying to put together like a fall timeline. So for the Opperman Award, fall timeline, and then a spring timeline. And then for the George Peter Award, we did about 4 years, so we're doing one quarterly or two in the fall and two in the spring. That's what we've typically done with George Peter, two in the fall and two in the spring.
Do you guys get overtime? Do you want to 5 more minutes?
Or 1 minute?
That's
a minute. I'm like kind of in my head. Okay. Other questions on that? Was there anything? In terms of the staffing stuff?
Internally, we don't have anybody staffed on that committee, so
notify you, or do I need to notify the assembly?
Well, it's two different things. You need to notify the assembly that it would notify us. And the voting for the dashboard gives you the opportunity as a chair to approve people, but then it's you just need to notify the assembly that you've been constituted and here are the members.
Okay.
And that way it's all part of the public record and you know what we're trying to get. And that would be for any committee, I guess.
Great. Any other thoughts with that? Cool. All right. As Greg just mentioned, we changed the agenda around a little bit, but I'm totally fine with that. This is as long as it's for something useful and productive. So just to recap then, so we have date, location locked down for this, the awards, which we will be handing out in there. So the president's address is coming.
And just again, because I don't know, and my experience was a special award for David last year, what is the award?
It's like a wooden plaque.
Last year we did a glass one, right?
Okay.
Is there budget for a glass one again? I mean, if we're trying to elevate this event and this award.
I think the nice thing about the plaque is if it's going to glue, they can hang it in the office.
We have our one out in the bedroom. We occupy more than one room, so in order to be an essential location, we have to have it on the file cabinet that it would be. If you hang on the wall, then you would see this the way off.
We'll break that down.
So that's fine. Okay. Any other? So let's recap. Present stress coming. Good. So, other thoughts on that? Call. Call
Have you ever asked for questions ahead of time?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So now that location everything is locked down, that'll be our next. Our EA updates come out mid month, so that'll be one of the things in the EA update: present stress, location, submit questions to. You know, the cultures, whatever we're going to do for that ahead of time. But I'm assuming she won't speak as long. It'll just be...
I think you need, that's actually...
You need to define that parameter.
Yeah.
You need to tell them how long she's expected to speak.
Oh, sorry, that's what I'm saying. If, you know, we speak for... typically David has spoke for... Half an hour, something like that. But typically when we've given her props as well, too, it's, I think, the time for... Because we have a tight hour, so that'll be like the 10 minutes for the intro and all that stuff, maybe 20, 30 minutes for her actual speaking, 10 minutes for questions, and then what, 10 minutes to put on the awards at the end, and that sounds like right up to 60, or is that 55? Yep. Yeah. My follow-up to that, too, is that in the past, when we've had lots of time for questions, it's just like the three, like I was the one that read the three submitted questions from the audience. And so, because I would hate for us to provide, I would love more time for dialogue, because this is how often are any staff members going to get this opportunity to ask those questions. But I would hate for us to build 20 minutes in for that, and then zero people ask questions, and it's literally just me reading the three submitted questions ahead of time, because that's what happened at the one. But again, she is new.
I have the timeline from last year, and maybe on our next exec call we can go through the timeline and make some adjustments, and then we'll bring it back to the group for or circulate it around. Well, I think the other thing, if we solicit questions in advance, you know, BJ teeing up the introduction can say we've heard from the staff members, you know, we had over 500 responses to our call for questions. We distilled those down. we gave those to the president's office and asked her in her remarks to comment on those questions or topics, right? So I think we can build in a way that shows the community engagement,
yep.
but still maximizes the time with the president.
Okay. Great. So I think that'll be our next step when we send that out as well too. So we'll talk about that next exec.
What's your time frame for sending out your report?
I think it's like a month. I will give it to us and then we have to send it, and I can just, send it out after you guys do. And I'd be happy to do another push to all of our HR folks to have them submit it through their channels as well.
Great. Okay. Any other thoughts with that? We're just about time. I don't want to start any of these other things with 2 minutes to go, so I'd entertain a motion to...
We should adjourn.
All right. Any dissent of them? Great. Thanks, everyone. Really productive day. Appreciate it.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.